This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gerard Johnson going to join the show in 20 minutes. He's very familiar with the Texans' new quarterback coach, Carl Smith. We're also going to talk to Bobby Hebert.
Yeah, that's him.
New Orleans legend. He played for Carl Smith for 8 years, and it was actually a significant role because Carl Smith actually called plays for Bobby Hebert. He's also probably going to sound off on the Saints not being in the Super Bowl because that's what he's been known to do. In an hour, though, this is an interesting story. The Rockets acquired Amon Shumpert yesterday. Doesn't really move the needle for many people, but Amon Shumpert delivered a baby with Beats by Dre headphones at one time. I have the 911 audio in 1 hour. We said that Carl Smith was the most interesting man in the world. Yeah. Amon Shumpert's trying to make a push for that. But before we get to localize it, in which Kevin Durant just continues to act like a turd, and Alex Bregman weighs in on proposed baseball rule changes, it is Thursday. We're trying to get over that oomph, and nothing helps you get over that oomph than Loophole Money Mike. Money Mike, how you living, sir?
Hey, what do you do? What do you do, fellas? I'm living okay. But hey, quick question, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to wonder this, and hopefully Patty Smith is still listening. Why in the heck wasn't the award show last night on live TV? I know it was the year before that, and I was all pumped up to watch it yesterday to get home, get my dinner ready, and then come to find out it was on tape delay late last night, and then now y'all are saying it's going to be on this evening. Do y'all know anything about that?
I do not. I'm sure Patty always listens. I'm sure she'll let me know. But in the meantime, I think part of it is because the programming that's already, you know, scheduled on a Wednesday night,
yeah,
you know, that's hard to move. That's hard to move. So that's why it's going to be on AT&T tonight and then re-air on a weekend when they can move programming a lot easier.
Well, I figured some of that, but I know this has been in the works for, you know, well over a year.
Yeah.
And when I looked on Channel 13 after the news, it had Modern Family and some other stuff, and they were all reruns. It wasn't nothing new, so I didn't know why they couldn't move some of that. But anyway, thanks for the call. Thank you, Figgy, for getting me in. Let me leave you with this, brothers.
Yes, sir.
If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, then change your damn attitude. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Maurice Jones-Drew of the NFL Network, I think he is one of the brightest minds in all of broadcasting. If you actually just listen to Maurice Jones-Drew and you can get past the fact that he's put on about 70 pounds since he quit playing football, Maurice Jones-Drew says some very, very impressive things. And he threw this out there yesterday, much to the dismay of Seth Payne this morning, but it's a hypothetical that makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade Jadeveon Clowney for the right price?
Jadeveon Clowney.
Listen, we got to get him to the Oakland Raiders. Pass rushers are hard to find.
They're not going
to
pay Khalil Mack and they're going to pay Clowney. Come on.
That's like the most Raiders thing right now, right? Find a guy that can go do it. Go get Clowney. If he's there, the Raiders need someone. And this guy can rush the passer. He's going to stop the run. He's a hard-nosed guy. He can put his hand on the ground. He can stand up. I think he's a perfect fit.
They need a lot of someones right now.
To me, that's like fantasy football stuff right there. Or, you know, like, hey, I'll trade you so-and-so. Because so many things come into play. I don't think the Raiders are even a candidate.
They've added three first-round picks.
They do, but they want the picks. You know, because they're building for Vegas. You know, they're going to be awful again this coming year, or not good. And they're building for Vegas.
All right, well, let's play some fantasy football. What would be the right price for you to be willing to trade J.D. Clowney? And I love Clowney. Would you trade him for a first and a second?
That's an interesting take right there.
Not two firsts, not the Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Would you trade him for a first and a second?
Well, I actually would if I was running the team, because you know what I feel about Clowney. As much as I like him, I think he's, you know, he's underrated in a sense, even though number one.
He's underrated and overrated at the same time, which is one of my favorite takes that you have.
Yeah, I think he's overrated because people know he was the number one overall pick and they expect him to be a god. I think he's underrated because when you say that, you're not really paying attention to all the really good things he does on a football field. That said, I don't think, this is another thing that I've always believed with Clowney, I don't think he's a fit on this defense. He's a 4-3 end. He's not a 3-4 linebacker or a 3-4 end or linebacker puts his hand on the dirt sometimes. He's a 4-3 end. So if you can acknowledge that as a general manager and say, you know what, it's just he's not going to be at his best for us unless we change our defense, which isn't going to happen.
I would trade him for, man, I would have to get a first. I would almost have to get two firsts at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because I don't think I would be able to live with myself if J.D. Clowney got traded and he became the player that we'd hoped he'd be for years. And that's a guy, you know, lead the league in sacks and you know, just being reckless. First and second would make me raise the eyebrows a little bit. And I know he's not Khalil Mack, so expecting a Khalil Mack package in return could be unrealistic. But I would have to get a Khalil Mack package just because I don't think I would be able to live with myself if I were Texans general manager Brian Gain or Bill O'Brien and I saw J.D. Clowney go somewhere else and just wreak havoc on the league. I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Yeah, two firsts would be a no-brainer. I think a first and a second you think about because, again, only –
Also,
because
it opens up future cap space because you know you're going to have to pay him eventually. So,
and
you
who
know,
else are you
going
to have
young.
To pay? Like, you're going to play Deshaun Watson here pretty soon.
Yeah, Deshaun's about to get paid.
J.J. Watt's not going anywhere. He's a Houston lifer. I mean, eventually at the end of his career, he'll probably play somewhere for a year or two. But you know what I mean.
Nah, he's ending here.
I would think, but
I don't want to see J.J.
Joe Montana
in another
got
uniform.
Traded. Everybody gets – all the greats get traded eventually. Jerry Rice was a Raider, for God's sake.
J.J.'s Houston, man.
Oh, what, Joe Montana wasn't San Francisco?
Joe Montana wasn't a two-time Man of the Year at the San Francisco Sports Awards.
I think he was a Man of the Year once.
Not at the San Francisco Sports Awards like J.J. Watt.
Okay.
Only back-to-back winner in the history of the awards show.
Yeah, no, I think everybody – that's a separate discussion. We won't go there. But I think, you know, it's up – he could. And you got to pay so many other guys. If you recognize that he's not necessarily the best fit on this defense, I would think about it first and a second.
I got to congratulate my man Vince Young. It's been
God.
A bad week for
you
him.
You hated him yesterday.
It's been a bad week for him. A very, very bad week for Vince Young and the University of Texas as a whole. Second time in 3 years he's been pulled over for drunk driving. Mm-hmm. But he's off the hook. Because
he's
not the
hook?
Biggest turd this week from the University of Texas.
Well, he's not off the hook. Let's not say that.
Yeah, but he's not the biggest turd from the University of Texas.
Okay.
That title belongs to Kevin Durant, who after yesterday's Golden State Warriors game showed people why they hate him so much. This is Kevin Durant after the game. He's been ignoring the media. He's been acting a little bit snooty, but he went to the podium after the Warriors win, and this is Kevin Durant taking Vince Young off the hook as the biggest turd from the University of Texas.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day. Ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you, grow up. Come on, bro. I come in here and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all? So, who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
Well, then don't talk. You know, there's a couple things here. Don't talk. Take the fines if it's an obligatory thing. And free agents, this is the most important thing to me. Free agency is a part of the basketball season. I'm sorry if you don't like it and you don't like the discussion. And third, do you think some of his teammates and former teammates say that he's not a problem, that he's not an issue?
Him and Draymond haven't been getting along all year.
They had a scuffle, apparently.
Yeah, and it didn't stop there because a member of the media decided to follow up with Kevin Durant, and I think he did it in a real chicken crap kind of way, kind of used the fans as a shield. Listen to this follow-up, and Kevin Durant continues acting turdish.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
go
there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications. Try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
How are you going to sit there and say the fans want to know? Just ask for yourself.
No, you can ask for yourself, but I really didn't have that big a problem
with
that.
Come on, man.
I really didn't. I
mean, with Durant or with the media?
No, with the fan question.
Come on, man. The fans are asking? Come on, dude.
No.
Just ask him.
Maybe that.
What's
but I'm
the
saying
deal?
Fans want to know. You don't think fans want to know?
It's not a good...
New York fans?
Yeah, they do
want
to know,
fan?
but the media wants to know, too. You don't have to use the fans as a shield.
Sure, but what is the media's job is to get the information to who?
To the fans.
Exactly.
But this is the other thing. Kevin Durant, he's in too deep.
Yeah.
This is the guy who lived with his mom his rookie year. He had the emotional speech a few years ago in which he cried, which everybody was embracing. He basically had kids coming over to his house when he was a rookie to play Xbox. And now all of a sudden he just felt the need, I guess because of social media pressure. We've heard him talking about burner accounts and stuff. He just felt the need to all of a sudden come out and act like some kind of badass. That's not him. And at this point, he's in so deep, it's uncomfortable to even watch because Kevin Durant, this is not him. He really, really, really needs to stop. He needs to stop. I don't know who advises him. I don't know who his PR team is, but he needs a complete brand overhaul of what he's trying to be because it's not comfortable.
Now that is
I feel
true.
Bad for him.
That is absolutely true. But I don't think asking that question was a big issue. And the guy did really say, okay, how'd you play tonight? Oh, you don't want to know. Well, now you're making assumptions. I think they do.
Alex Bregman was at the Houston Sports Awards yesterday. We're going to hear his take on these rules in about 4 minutes. But before I do that, I'm going to go through. There have been some proposed rule changes discussed among the MLB decision makers. And I'm going to go through these rules. And I also have a rule proposal of my own that I'm going to run by you.
God.
Well, it's going to be a good one.
Imagine.
Yeah, I'm just going to improve the game. It's okay. No big deal. All right. You just tell me yay or nay to these rules. All right, OG?
Okay.
A three-batter minimum for all relief pitchers. So, in other words, we see relievers come in, face one batter, righty-lefty. No more of that. The relief pitcher has to face at least three batters.
No, with a qualifier, okay? I am a big fan of the strategy at the end of games, particularly games of import, playoff games and such, of matching the righty-lefty. Okay, right-handed stick, left-handed, right-handed pitcher, et cetera. Let's do that rule, but with two batters. Because three batters would essentially eliminate the matchups of lefty-lefty, righty-righty. But if you say, okay, you can make that move, but it's not just one batter you're facing, it's two. So I would change that instead of a three-batter minimum for relievers to two.
A universal DH, so the DH in the NL and the AL.
I have been proposing this for 25 years. Anybody who says, now I just said I like the strategy in game, but the strategy of, well, you're taking away, if you have a DH in both leagues, you're taking away the pitch ups and the lineup changes and the switches and all that stuff. No pitcher in Major League Baseball wants to bat. All right. Maybe there's a way, way, way out there exception. Some guy that likes to swing the stick, but he's not good. No one wants to bat. You have a greater chance of getting injured. We've had that experience in this city. DH in both leagues is about 25 years overdue.
A single trade deadline before the All-Star break. This would impact the Astros because they got Justin Verlander at the second trade deadline. I'm in favor of this 100%.
Totally in favor of this as well.
Don't you feel
it's like you don't
cheated.
Even know when
don't
the trade deadline
don't
is?
Don't you feel kind of cheated when you talk about the trade deadline leading up to it and then all of a sudden it's done, but it's like, well, they can still make a trade.
Yeah, the guy's got to pass through waivers. And a lot of times they pass through waivers, it's collusion because all the other teams know, okay, well, they're actually going to trade, for this guy. So we got to let him go through waivers. So the first three of these, absolutely in favor of. But the first one, it needs to be a two-batter minimum, not a three.
A 20-second pitch clock.
Yeah, give it to me.
Go ahead and take that.
Yeah, give it to me.
The expansion of rosters to 26 with a 12-pitcher max.
Doesn't really affect me that much. Obviously, if you want to do that, I'm good with it.
I don't even care about the draft.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into all that. A study to lower the mound, why? I don't. Why do you need to lower the mound?
That one is actually not a bad idea, but it'll never happen. I'm kind of indifferent on it. If I had to, put a gun to my head and say choose, I would say lower the mound because I think it it gives more offense. It's more offense for every game because the pitcher's not going to have that advantage. But I'm kind of indifferent.
You want me to improve baseball right now? I got three new rule changes, the landlock rule changes.
All right.
You ready for this?
Ready.
All right. All fields need to be the same dimensions.
Never going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, but it should, especially with the game so obsessed with numbers. You realize how silly it would be if we were talking about the Houston Texans and we were like, all right, they're going to New England this week and they're playing on a 130-yard field, so it's going to be a different game. Or they're going to Jacksonville this week. That field's only 80 yards. It's silly. I know that's what we're used to. I know it's part of the ballpark experience, but if you're so obsessed with numbers, all fields should be the same dimensions. Number two, No more warm-ups for pitchers on the mound. You've been warming up for 20 minutes in the damn bullpen. You're telling me that after warming up for 20 minutes in the damn bullpen, you're going to sprint down there and then you're going to throw 7 or 10 pitches, whatever it is, and add more time to the game. That would be like a player coming off the bench in basketball, Eric Gordon for the Rockets, and getting to take warm-up shots to get used to the surface, or a slot receiver coming off the bench and getting to run outs to get used to the surface. They say you got to get used to the mound. Well, they don't do that in other sports, and in other sports, you're not sitting there warming up for 20 minutes. So get rid of that.
I don't agree with you on that. Let's limit the pitches to, like, say 4 or 5, because, first of all, the examples you gave, those players are actually on that field in that environment, either before the game or halftime, pregame or whatever. So but bullpen pitchers are in the bullpen only. It's more closed. They're not on the actual pitcher's mound of the stadium in that environment in the open air or whatever it is. So I would say let's just give them 4 or 5.
All right, and this is my final rule, and this is to reward fast play with the pitch clock. The team that has the quickest pitch clock total amount, so the 20 seconds, let's say it took them like 40 minutes to pitch, it took the other one 41. I'm rewarding the team that played the fastest with half a run at the end of the game.
Get out of here.
If you're up by one run, congratulations, you win. If you're tied and you played slower, you take an L, and that gets rid of extra innings too, which can be a complete travesty during the regular season. I am eliminating extra innings, and I am making baseball a better sport, and I am rewarding fast play. You get a half run if you played faster at the end of 9 innings.
That one is idiotic.
It's perfect,
to be honest.
It's awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm improving
idiotic.
The game.
I was with you I'm on improving your the first game. Two, but that's
I'm improving the game.
Is it idiotic or dumb or both?
Let's hear Alex Bregman real quick before we get out of here and talk to Gerard Johnson. This is Alex Bregman on all the proposed rule changes. I think he'd be down with the half run.
DH is cool. I don't know why we lower the mound, and I have no clue why in the world we would have a pitcher only be, don't have to throw to three hitters. Like, I don't know. I think we're doing too much if we do that.
Coming up next, Gerard Johnson played for Carl Smith, the new quarterback coach for the Houston Texans. We're going to get his takeaways there as well as on Super Bowl 53. You're in the loop with Landry Lopez and Figgy on Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.